Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Snell Nation. Tonight, we're going to dive into the anti-racism cult. Now, of course, this is my own personal opinion, but I believe I can make a strong case as to why I believe they are a cult. And of course, you have people that talk about the cult of woke. Which certainly, yes, I'd like to, you know, we can throw that in there as well. But I just wanted to focus on this anti-racism cult phenomenon, which we've witnessed. So the term cult, just the generic definition, goes a little something like this: a system of religious veneration and devotion directed toward a particular figure or object. Now, it's pretty standard. There are a couple other variations to that definition, but it falls along those same lines. And some people argue the differences between a cult and a more mainstream religion and the similarities. But I just wanted to focus on, you know, anti-racism as a whole today. Now, this isn't speaking in any type of negative tones or throwing anything negative at the concept of anti-racism or being against racism, just like being against fascism. Sure, yes, that's a great thing. But then, of course, then you have an organization like, I don't know, say Antifa, that pretty much have shown themselves to be fascist, but then they have the title of anti-fascist. So people like to take certain liberties when it comes to these terms and whatever their particular agenda is. But I digress. So, anti-racism, the cult. So I took a look at just a couple of key items, and you'll see these in traditional religions. There are a couple of key pieces. You know, you'll have a doctrine, which is the guidebook that you follow, no matter what the religion is, or in this case, whatever the cult is. You know, you have your clergy, you have that hierarchy, that structure. And then you have a strong foundation for the overall faith itself. In this case, I'll go with an original sin. You know, that's the big event, the big moment in that particular religion or that particular faith or this cult. So as far as the doctrine goes, with this anti-racism cult, you know, I'd have to go towards the Black Lives Matter mission statement, which, of course, they made some adjustments to it. But fortunately, I saved a lot of the screenshots and things when the fever pitch was high last summer, and a lot of things about, you know, just down with capitalism and you know, just deconstructing the nuclear family and, you know, all kinds of wonderful things like that. Hardly any mention of lifting up Black men, which I found interesting. But you have that, you have the Antifa handbook. You have these ridiculous things like the 1619 Project and that kind of stuff. They hold up high as something relevant and something, I don't know, worth presenting to the world when it's absolute nonsense. But you have that doctrine. Then clergy, you have your hierarchical structures within BLM and Antifa and some of these other anti-racism focused organizations. So you have that hierarchy, you have that leadership, and they operate as the clergy, some may say. And then you go to the original sin. In this case, it would be, well, slavery. And it's the thing that they hold up high, and it's at the front of the conversation. You know, slavery, 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 you know, still feeling the effects of slavery, still owe reparations for slavery. And, you know, Jim Crow gets slipped in there as well. But You know, that's the original sin. That's the thing that some of them want, or at least wanted, you know, white people to apologize for and to beg for forgiveness and repent and also shell out some money as well. And unfortunately, quite a few people went ahead and did that with direct donations to individuals, donations to organizations, which, you know, organizations they knew very little about, but they were wrapped up in all that emotion. And they were wrapped up in that cultist just landscape, especially in 2020. And we all witnessed it. And it was the most bizarre thing at first. And then it just became incredibly sad. And just the things, you know, I'll never forget. There were even some videos I posted discussing those events when they happened. But, you know, you had BLM organizers, you know, having just, you know, white people in these little I'm sorry to call them congregations, but in these large groups, these organized groups. And, you know, they had them reciting this, this white privilege pledge. And I remember watching some of those videos and I just was in absolute awe at just all these people that it was, and that's when I thought, like, cult. And people are buying into this and they feel all that guilt for something that their ancestors may or may not have had anything to do with it. Because the reality is not every white person in the 16th century, 17th century, 18th century in America had slaves. You know, it's the structure isn't incredibly different, you know, from where we are now, where you have the elitists that hold a large amount of the power and the influence, and, you know, they control politics, they dominate the business sector, and a lot of that, it was the same way back then, several centuries, where you had a small group of people controlling a majority of the wealth and commerce and all that, you know. So this belief that, you know, pretty much anyone that's white is, you know, obviously they have ties to slavery or to some slave master centuries ago, you know, completely ignoring the fact that we've had tens of millions of immigrants that have come into this country from all over the world, you know, which is another reason why I think the whole reparations thing is nonsense. But anyway, shifting back over to the anti-racism cult, you know, it meets that basic definition of what a cult is. It has that doctrine. It has that original sin. It has that clergy, that hierarchy, you know, of leadership. And then just the events that we witnessed, and some of which I just mentioned, and even some that were even more bizarre. I don't know if any of you recall, but there were these televised, they were like foot baths, where they were saying prayers and asking for forgiveness as they had different people, and white people that were giving these foot baths and were washing the feet of just random black people. And they were just singing and doing their thing. And I just watched and I saw that. And I posted a video about it, pretty much just begging white people to stop it. It's incredibly degrading. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen. And I'm not white, but just watching it, I just felt a great deal of sadness and awe. You know, my jaw dropped. You know, so there was that. Of course, you had people marching into neighborhoods demanding that white people give up their homes and, you know, all that good stuff. And I guess just give it to a black family that needs it, because I guess us black folks, we don't have jobs, we don't have investments, we don't have good credit or savings or anything where we can go out and just do it ourselves. So apparently these people just tried to seize that opportunity, and it didn't really work out well for them, but it still was a crazy thing to witness, and it looked like some sort of religious or cult-like rally. So you have all that, you have... And all the kneeling. Holy moly. I posted a couple of different videos about that, just begging people, stop kneeling. You know, oh, we're kneeling in solidarity. And I just said, no, no, it looks like you're kneeling in submission. That's what it's some sort of position of servitude. And like, you're just giving up, you know, and you've got someone standing over you. But people kept doing it. I mean, we had police officers doing it. We had political officials, but they don't really count. They're just a bunch of drone clowns that are corporate controlled and just do whatever they're told. They're handed the script and they follow it, at least the kind of smart ones. But you had all these people, soldiers, all that stuff. And I just watched that and I just kept seeing it. And I had people asking me, hey, what if you're in a situation where, you know, someone asks you to kneel? And my response was, well, no, I would say no. You know, and if you tell me it's about solidarity, I would say, well, I have a difference of opinion. And since it's my body, I think I'm just going to do whatever I want with it. You know, take care. Good luck with your communist uprising that you're trying to have piggyback a bunch of black grievances or perceived grievances from the past to help ignite some revolution, which it's not even really what it is. It's just a power grab where you're trying to grab some influence and power and money at the same time. And of course we have BLM now with all the donations they received. Holy cow. You know, they can just fund dozens and dozens of campaigns for years to come with all the money they raked in last year. You know, and that's another side of that cult. And now we have all these stories that are coming out. I shouldn't say stories. These are just truths that are coming out about some of these organizers within BLM, those that sit at that top tier or close to it, and where they're buying these, you know, all these homes and millions of dollars worth of real estate, or they're buying commercial property, or there's been some that spent money on strippers and drugs and, you know, expensive cars, all that kind of stuff, and they haven't put a dime back into any of these communities whatsoever. And people, so many people just can't see that pattern. It's been going on since 2014, 2015. Every time, you know, and unfortunately, 9 times out of 10, it's a black criminal. Not that it makes it any different, but, you know, a black criminal a lot of times gets shot by a police officer. And in many cases, that person was committing a crime or leaving after committing a crime or in the process of committing a crime. When this incident happened, when they were shot, and that's when Black Lives Matter will swoop in, they'll have all these protests and everything, you'll have the Al Sharptons and the other race hustlers swoop in so they can get their cut, and just fan the flames of hate because they need it. That's their bread and butter. I mean, people still don't get that. You know, they don't get the fact that, you know, there's a financial incentive. That's what's driving it. There's no do-gooderness. There's no focus on actually helping anyone. I mean, you can look at the healthcare industry. You can look at big pharma, and you can go to these the vaccines. And it just blows my mind how many people just refuse to even discuss that angle of it. Whenever I bring up, do you understand how much money Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson are raking in from these vaccines? Even just what they've raked in already, plus the projections for the next few years? Oh, that's just a bunch of nonsense. Are you kidding me? I mean, Pfizer is set to rake in $15 billion. Billion. And that's just going off of just the one shot. And now they're setting it up where there's, you know, you need a second shot. Then the CEO a couple weeks ago was talking about how you need a third shot. Then they're talking about how it has to be this continuous thing, like the flu shot. It has to be just every year. And they're signing all these vaccine distribution deals that are going out like 2, 3, 4, 5 years into the future. But, oh, no, they're just doing it because they care about you. And, you know, and oh, my goodness. It's just something that it still shocks me for some reason, even though I've seen quite a bit of it over the years, especially in recent years, just how people get swept up in these things. Which is why I about 2 years ago I started looking into some of these things and tried to look at it as, okay, let's look at it as if it was a cult. You know, and then I look at, okay, how would the hierarchy be set? You know, who are the key players? Okay, who's the leadership, the people on the top? Okay, let's take a look at what the design of a member of this particular cult, what they would look like, or who the ideal candidate would be, and how they would possibly carry themselves. You know, and when you break that down and you look at it, it's like, okay, that makes sense. I can see how so many people can get swept up into something that's been crafted as if it's a religion. And it's a phenomenal thing. So that was just a few of some thoughts I had on anti-racism and the anti-racism cult. You know, and once again, this isn't saying that there's anything wrong with being against racism. I mean, well, duh, that's an obvious thing. You know, but I believe it was Dr. Thomas Sowell who stated in an interview how, you know, the focus should be on discrimination, and it's nonsensical to focus on racism. And it's close to just something I've said over a couple of years, how ridiculous it is to go on a quest to end racism. That doesn't make any sense. You know, you need to focus on implementing the appropriate controls to deal with individuals that show themselves to be racist, and then there's a manifestation of their racist tendencies, which takes you towards discrimination. You know, where there is an overt act that's taking place in the real world that's impacting the life of someone else or infringing on their rights, you know, their right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness, you know, sure, that's where the focus should be. But this nonsense about, like, hey, in racism, and I see those signs and I just laugh when I drive by, I'm like, yeah, sure. All right. I mean, it sounds great on paper, but that's not realistic. You'll be chasing that dragon for the rest of your days, and you'll never slay it. And it's just like going back to, you know, C-19 and the vaccines and this quest to end death, pretty much, you know. And okay, well, sure, that sounds nice on paper, but once again, that's incredibly unrealistic. And it's incredibly dishonest for those individuals that push that, knowing what it really is. It's just moving the goalpost. You know, you throw out some quest that's impossible, and you just keep changing the criteria to define its success, and you just keep moving it. Move the goalpost, and you just keep taking in money, you know. Or if power and control tickles your fancy, then there you go. You can just keep pushing out new bills and then just have it hide behind the guise of, you know, hey, it's for your own safety and public health and all that good stuff, which, you know, some of that feels cultish the more you think about it. So that's just some of my thoughts on the anti-racism cult. And I will take a moment to kind of separate the anti-racism cult and the cult of woke. I think it deserves its own little conversation. A lot of similarities, a lot of the same players, but there's just as much to talk about with that as well. So please feel free to leave me a review. You know, let me know just what some of your thoughts are. Subscribe. And you can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I appreciate the feedback I've received already. This podcast is almost at a month in, and listenership is fantastic. I think I've got members in, I think, 8 countries, 9 countries now, which is fantastic. So please just continue to give me your feedback. It'll help me as I evolve the channel. Greatly appreciated. Snail Nation out.